waiting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk podcast. We are recapping the KU South Dakota football game. The undefeated Jayhawks storm the Coyotes of South Dakota. I am joined by Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing good, Kevin. It's good to see a win, or as I said on Twitter, KU's annual tradition of celebrating a victory.
I did not see that. Unfortunately, yeah. I didn't see last year's victory, so I was not there.
So it's been 2 years since you've seen a victory at Memorial Stadium.
And I wasn't at this game. Yeah, pretty brutal. So that's it's been basically 2011 since I saw a winning KU football game. But I think that's going to change this year. We're going to win at least one more. I am confident of that. Not sure about next week, but let's get into this game. What do you say? You were there. How did it feel to just be at the stadium, enjoying a little tailgating? Obviously, a little hot.
It was great to be there. I showed up pretty early. I was the first one in my little tailgate area.
Sure.
There were some late arrivers, but there always are. But in our tailgate with the Jayhawk Talk Cabana, it went really well. Our buddy Parker, otherwise known as Pay_Heed, made some stuffed peppers. I think he said he was going to do that in his little piece for the website.
Yeah.
Stat Boy cooked a brisket.
Ooh.
It was we had a little party going on. But it was a good time. There was people everywhere. It was good to have everybody back in the stadium, back in the area. I think it was a pretty good turnout. You know, obviously pretty sparse in the corners, but otherwise pretty good for a coming off a 1-10 season or 1-11 season.
Yeah, I think it was, 41 and change announced. So that's not terrible.
Yeah, I didn't see it announced. I think that's something what it was. But it looked 41. It looked full. And then towards the end, you know, there was some scattering like there always is. That hasn't changed.
Well, that's okay. I was not there, unfortunately. I had a little bout with the flu right during that Saturday. Pretty bummer, but I was able to watch it home.
Could we say you were suffering from flu-like symptoms?
Yes.
You know, in the NFL, when they say that, that means they're hungover.
That is sort of partly the case, but I don't think that was the true impetus for my flu-like symptoms. But it might have played a small role. But yeah, it allowed me to watch it on the new Time Warner Metro Sports Network. The announcers were brutal.
So tell me about that. I haven't heard anything about it. This is the first time you're saying it. Who were the announcers?
I can't remember their names. The one guy was like trying to be somewhere between, and anybody that watched this will completely agree with me. Like the color commentator guy was trying to be somewhere in between Chris Berman and where can you put it? It was really awkward. And I don't even know how to explain it, but he would just get really excited for nothing out of nowhere. He would just be like, "Hey, yeah, that was a great play by Pearson. Can you completely believe it? He did that." And you're like, "What? Where did that come from?" And I think his producer probably like told him to, like, you should really use that voice where you get really excited, but it wasn't working.
So when this guy does it, it's awkward, but when Bob Davis does it, it's amazing.
Of course, yeah,
and charming. Okay, yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. I like art. When Bob Davis does that.
Yeah, there's an art to it. This guy it wasn't really working. But anyway, we only have to endure it one more time, and hopefully I won't be there for it. That is basically what happened with the game. Should we talk about, you know, what happened on the field?
Let's go ahead and do that since we have to.
All right. You were there, so I'm gonna defer to you. I'm gonna hear your thoughts, just initial reaction on the game.
It was really hot, and I was sweating a lot.
That's not what I meant.
That's not what you meant. No. Oh, that's what was happening on the field for me. Oh, you meant like the football thing.
The football thing.
The game.
Right.
Oh. I was not as encouraged as maybe some of the other people. Just going in from the perspective of knowing that this is going to be the worst team we play all year, by far. This is a team that's lower level division, division one, full bowl championship series, or football championship series, FCS. And knowing that they're lower level and that we didn't win, we didn't beat the spread, first of all. And
was there
we didn't
a spread?
Win by, yeah, it was 23. So we needed a touchdown at the end to get it, and we didn't get it. But and I would have liked to seen a blowout. And I know that's a lot to ask, but against a team like this, it's almost expected, no matter who you are, if you're going to consider yourself to be a legitimate BCS team. But tell me what you thought from TV. Maybe you have a little different view.
I buy all of what you said, but I'm willing to give it one pass. And this is one pass, one game, one time, the only time I'm willing to do it, because I think that similar to last year, Charlie Weiss was playing this game to play next game. Vanilla playbook. The defense was vanilla. They blitzed like basically every down, just sending the same blitz package. They talked Pearson up all offseason that he's going to be this, you know, crazy joker player where they can move him all over the field. And he's catching balls and running. And he had two targets. There's no trickeration. You know, Rice had a bye this week, so I think he was not one to show them too much while they could prepare. I'm willing to give this one a pass. And then also, of course, the jitters. First game jitters. First time on the field, first time lacing them up. And first game for Jake Heaps in like 2 years, if you think about it. So I'm willing to give this one game a pass. But I'm kind of with you. It was I was expecting a little more. Defense was just okay. Offense looked a little out of sync. Play calling a little out of sync, but that's the kind of stuff I'm just willing to give a little pass. Am I crazy?
You are a little crazy, but I agree with what you're saying too. Just a little different perspective. But there were some high water marks.
Okay.
You know, this is we tied our record from last year.
All right.
Which is good.
Undefeated.
A couple other things we're going to touch on later, but I just want to get your opinion now. A couple over-unders. We like to do these here.
Sure.
The first one, 45-yard field goal. Okay. This was amazing when it happened, and everyone in the stadium cheered very loudly knowing that this happened.
I bet.
But here's the question. Will we have a longer field goal this season, or is that the top we're going to get?
I'm going to say yes. I mean, just based on what we saw, I mean, he was willing to trot him out for a 45-yarder. What's to say he can't hit the 46 or 47-yarder? It was good by some distance, too, by the way. They showed on the replay. It was right down the middle. I mean, it was a beautiful kick.
So you're taking the over?
I'm taking the over. Are you?
I that would be – well, hopefully we're not put in a position where we have to do that, but – or, you know, make those tough decisions. But I think he can make it. I'm not sure if they'll – trot him out there for anything longer. You know, if he misses like a 47 yarder, I think they're going to reel him in a little bit. See, but I'll take the over as well.
Nice. Well, see, the one thing about it is we had to go for fourth and everything last year because there was no kicking. There was no field goal efforts inside unless it's 24 yards away. So I think this year you might be able to put a few more points on the board just because we have a legitimate kicking game. We don't have to go for fourth and 7 at the, you know, 28-yard line.
All right, I've got a second over-under for you. We scored 31 points. Will we have more than 31 points in a game this season?
We're going to have to, or we're going to lose most of our games.
Well,
like all of the games, maybe.
Yes.
So I'm going to say... I'm going to say yes. I think we will have an output because, and here's my justification, just like I said before, vanilla playbook.
Give me your justification, but also give me how many. You know, I don't want you to go through the schedule, but just like one or two or three. That's the level we're looking at here.
Man, last year, did we have any games after the first one above 30 points?
You give your opinion. I'll look that up.
I'm going to say we have two games where we eclipse the 31-point mark the rest of the season. That is my over, and I'm saying I'm taking two games. What would you say?
Okay, so it's kind of funny. We beat San Diego State last year 31-17.
Right,
so
pretty similar.
Very similar score. 24 against Rice, 6 against TCU, 23 against Northern Illinois, 16 against K-State, 14 against Okie State. Oh. You can see it. You can see a trend here.
So brutal.
7 against Oklahoma, 17 against Texas, 14 against Baylor, wow. 34 against Texas Tech, 23 against Iowa State, 10 against West Virginia.
So one time.
We had one time, and we lost.
I'm taking the over, two.
Okay, so that'll be it. Any, you know, more than one game over 31. You're taking the over. I'll take the over as well.
All right. We'll see.
You gotta, I think we got to make a little fun. You know, have some fun on this.
You got some optimism.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I guess it's sort of optimism.
Yeah, sort. That's maybe it's not optimism.
It's not as optimistic as we were last week.
We're gonna have to
loyal listener to the podcast. You say that we may have been a little crazy.
Yeah, we're gonna have to probably revisit the projections maybe later on. But 390 yards for KU total. We had 280 of those on the ground. 286 yards for South Dakota and 219 rushing for them. Another stat that kind of jumped out was 9 penalties for 71 yards. Not very good. A lot of those were on offense. Stupid kind of maybe first game type play or calls, but I need to probably clean some of that stuff up. And then time of possession was actually in South Dakota's favor, 32-49 to 27-11. Kind of interesting. Any of that jump out to you or any other stats from the game kind of seem interesting?
Well, we'll talk about it later, but I think one phase of the game we don't have to worry about or don't have to have any doubts about is the running game. Like, yeah. that at least we have that. At least that if all else goes wrong, we can rely on that. You know, there are 5 guys that I think are legitimate, productive guys for this team at the running back position. And, you know, if a guy goes down, you don't get worried about it. You know, yeah. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm worried about somebody getting hurt, but it's just a luxury to have that. And, you know, each one of them has a little different style. You know, James Sims runs different than Tony Pearson. And I think you're right. I think we'll see Tony Pearson get a little more looks next week and in the weeks later. But I was still encouraged by what he did this week.
Yeah, let's get into the offense a little bit. We're basically going to break the game down. We're going to talk about the offense, talk about the defense, little special teams, and then we're going to look forward to the Rice game. So let's kind of start with the offense. I mean, we can get to the running backs in a minute, but I really want to talk about Heaps. I mean, he's kind of the main storyline. We knew the running backs were going to be solid. The question marks were, you know, our quarterback and receiver. And with Heaps, he went 10 for 20. For 110 yards and one passing touchdown to a wide receiver. The initial thought for me, he's better than the last guy. And I don't know that we can, you know, put a whole lot more on him yet, but he sure looked better than the last guy. And I mean that to say that he had a little bit more zip on the ball. He had some great touch passes, looked okay in traffic, was able to move around in the pocket, which was obviously something Dane Crist was completely unable to do. And I don't know, any initial thoughts about Heaps before we kind of talk a little bit more about some of the decisions?
You know, just from watching the game, it looks like he belonged a little bit better. And yeah. I don't necessarily know exactly what that means, but it looked like he was a Division I quarterback, where that's at times good. Last year, it did not look like Dane Crist was a Division I quarterback. It turns out he's an NFL quarterback,
well, yeah.
but just not a Division I quarterback. I would like to, I guess, draw our attention as far as expectations and kind of some perspective on Jake Heaps. You know, you mentioned his numbers, 10 for 20, 110 yards and a touchdown. Last year against South Dakota State. Right, is that how we played? South Dakota State.
I think so.
Dane Crist, they gave him a little more to do. He was 17 for 36 for 169 yards, with one touchdown and one interception. So very similar numbers. I think that they were trying to do more with Dane Crist than they were with Jake Heaps this year. So it kind of just depends on they put him in a different position. So yeah. I think the jury's still out. And I think Jake Heaps and Charlie Weiss will tell you that too. The jury's still out. we don't really know exactly what he's going to be. But yeah. We know he's a 10-for-20 quarterback against North Dakota. That's all we know.
South Dakota.
So whatever. The Coyotes. The Coyotes.
The Coyotes.
And there's we play these all these weird teams, North Dakota, South Dakota State, because we played North Dakota in basketball. And whatever. The team from Vermilion, South Dakota.
The Dakotas. No, I completely agree with you. We don't quite know yet. And this was one of those things where, again, I don't think they wanted to show too much. Only passed the ball 20 times, ran the ball, what was it, 50 times? So 50 rushes, 20 passes. I don't think that will happen most games. Charlie Weiss doesn't want it to happen that way. You want the run to set up the pass. And obviously we're going to still be a running focused team because that is where our strength is. But Heaps has an arm. I mean, that was the one thing we saw. He was able to throw a couple nice good pass, a couple nice passes, threw a couple balls in traffic where, I mean, it was on the numbers. It was kind of interesting to see. I'm a little bit intrigued by Heaps. I'm not willing to put much more on it than that, but definitely better than the last guy. One point I wanted to throw out there, he was 10-for-20. But he had a few drops. I don't know if it was coming through right.
Especially at the very yeah. first possession. The very first possession was pretty bad all the way around. And I think there was two drops there that, you know, were good passes. Should have been caught.
Mundine had two drops, which we kind of thought he'd be a security blanket this year, and he still may be, but he needs to get that cleaned up. And then he threw the ball away a couple times. So his numbers maybe not as not indicative of his play. But, you know, one thing that I was impressed with, he was able to move around a little bit. And I think that's going to need to happen because our offensive line in a pass blocking situation didn't look very good at all. And this is against, again, a not very good team. So that scared me a little bit, but it's nice to see he's able to move around. And hopefully we can do some scheming to give him some more time.
Before we move on, I just want to jump in and say, I just hope you're not giving Charlie Weiss too much credit here. I hope that the plan is that, you know, we just do a little bit against this first game and then get everything out later on. I hope that that's true. I just have a sneaking suspicion that you're giving him way too much credit and that's the actual plan because we don't know that.
Well, I'm using it because he did it last year. I mean,
sort of. It didn't work because we didn't win any more games. And you know, we did trail in this game. So it's not like this was a thing where, you know, if we were down 7-0 and we weren't looking very good, maybe it was time to show something, you know, that maybe we would have saved. I'm just saying that it didn't end up being one of those games. At least initially, where you had the luxury of saving stuff.
No, come on. We were going to win that game, even if they were just terrible. I mean, even if we got down by, you know, 17 points, I think we still would have won that game. I mean, you might think I'm crazy, but they were terrible, you know, like as a team. We did not play well, I don't think, and we still won with a vanilla playbook by 17 points. Like, I did not see a lot of good stuff out there, but I'm not going to let you say that we had to pull out the stops against these guys.
Well, I'm just saying, I hope you're not giving him too much credit in
that's
that,
fair.
That this is the plan to save all this stuff, because for a while there, everyone in the stadium was like, okay, are we doing this again? Are we doing this again? And then it got better.
That makes sense. I understand where you're coming from. Completely. But no, I the only thing that makes me feel better is they talked up guys like Pearson and they talked up guys like Rodriguez Coleman and how they're going to try to get our playmakers involved in the passing game. And they didn't do that at all this game. I mean, very, very, very little. That's what makes me feel a little more comforted in knowing there's some, you know, design plays to get the ball in the hands of the good players. And, you know, I think they were just kind of being vanilla this game. It's just my thoughts. And if I'm wrong, I will own it. And I have been certainly not the hugest supporter of Charlie Weiss last year. So I'm definitely not giving the company line here. But that's just my thoughts. I hope I'm right and you're wrong and that is exactly what they were doing. But I concede that it's possible. Shall we move on to the running backs?
Sure. The one bright spot. Well, I mean, there were some other bright spots, but the one shining,
yeah,
one magnificent part of everything. You know, everyone averaged over 5 yards a carry, which is great. Mm-hmm. Some a lot more. Just to go through it a little bit, James Sims averaged 5.9, Darian Miller 5.1, Tony Pearson 9.4, Taylor Cox 7.3, and Brandon Bourbon 16. So everyone was having success each possession or each time they carried the ball. But tell me about Sims. What did you think of Sims from TV?
Yeah, I thought he looked good. The one fumble was pretty brutal. I'm glad it happened in this game and not another game. That was the one thing that kind of was a little bit of a took the shine off. But he looked good, man. He's solid. Two touchdowns, 16 rushes for 94 yards. You know, he didn't play in the Rice game last year. I think it'll be good to get a game under his belt, get out there and kind of get some rushes, because I think it will help. He seems like a flow kind of guy, whereas he starts getting into a rhythm, he's better. And I think he's really good. One thing about it, I thought he looked faster. Am I crazy? Like around the edge. He seems like a faster player this year.
I don't know if I noticed that specifically. He's a pretty fast guy. It could have been that the defense was slower.
Maybe. That's a good point. But he seems like he had an extra burst this year compared to last year. Not that he was like plodding last year, but when you compare him to someone like Pearson or Miller, like, he's not the fastest guy on the team. In fact, he might be the slowest of the 5 running backs, I think they were saying. But just like a 40 speed, but he looked like a fast football player on Saturday. That was one thing I kind of liked.
He may be the slowest, but he's the best football player. Yeah. And I think you can notice that as he's running through the tackles, avoiding some hits. There was a couple plays in the first half where if a safety didn't come down and get him, he was going to be gone. Like, he was getting past that initial defensive line and the linebackers fairly easily. And credit to our offensive line for that. Yeah. So they were just, half a missed tackle away from him being gone a couple times. So he was very exciting all the way through the game, but especially in the first half, other than the fumble.
And that's the one thing we should probably say. The offensive line on the running game looked great. And that's picked back right off from where they left last year. The passing game, not as much, but the running game, they looked terrific. And hopefully, that's kind of – again, it's run to set up the pass of this team. I think that's just going to be what it is. You said everyone averaged more than 5 yards a carry. I thought this stat was a little interesting. We averaged as a team 5.6 yards per rush. Also averaged 5.5 yards per pass. We actually had more yards per play running the ball than we did throwing the ball. Little token there that hopefully doesn't repeat itself the rest of the season, because you want the quarterback to hopefully put a few more yards on the board than that. But anyway.
And you could definitely notice that in that first possession of the second half, where it just seemed like the coaching staff was, all right, guys, let's not be cute. Let's not do anything crazy. Let's just run the ball, because that's working. And then you saw that. You saw 71 yards during that possession, and they were all runs. And they led to a touchdown. There was not even a threat of a pass.
Yeah.
It was all runs, and you know what? It worked. So that was one of the times, don't get cute. Just do what we do well. That's not going to work against everybody. But, as far as getting back in the game, getting our head straight, it's something we can always go back to.
Am I crazy to think that at halftime they were just like, you know what? This game's still not decided yet. Let's just go out and get a quick touchdown on the board. And then we can start, practicing some of the stuff that we wanted to practice during this game. I mean, this seemed like a scrimmage to me. I don't know why, but and this was the drive that made me think that, where they were like, okay, screw it. We're going to go out, run the ball. We feel like we can just have, great success running the ball. We're not even going to screw around. No huddle. We're going to drive all the way down, score a touchdown. And then we can start getting into this kind of stuff we wanted to practice. Am I crazy?
Yeah,
they could have done this all game. They could have run the ball. If they wanted to win by 40 points, I feel like they could have done this all game. I guess that's my argument.
I mean, there's something to that. Yeah. We threw the ball a little bit. I think you got to get have to have some threat of a pass, and we have to kind of know if Jay Keeps can do it. So, but at some level, every game's kind of like that. You have to kind of know, try different things. But at the end of the day, you kind of have to do what works. And it was kind of a mix of that for me. It just seemed like in the second half or the second quarter when we did that long drive, it was just a, all right, let's just get it done, get some points on the board, and then we can relax a little bit.
It just seemed like they were just trying to give people reps, if that makes sense. Like, get everyone out there. Let's make sure that Bourbon gets on the field. Let's make sure Cox gets on the field. That's, you know, I don't know. That's just kind of what it seemed like to me. But, well, let's move on to the receivers, because this is another kind of question mark coming into the season. Pretty much all new receivers, other than Pearson. Pearson was the lead with 32 yards receiving, two catches. Mundine, 2 for 26. Again, those two drops. Ford had 1 for 22, and McKay, 2 for 12, and he added the touchdown. Was there anything in the receivers, I mean, from your perspective when you were there, maybe seeing the field, were they getting open? Or was it just a deal where it was just kind of, you know, just was more for running the ball today?
I will add one thing. Ford had a touchdown called back.
Yeah,
pretty good catch, and I thought it was pretty impressive on his part. But I think I was impressed with Justin McKay a little bit, but I wasn't overall impressed with everyone. I think Rodriguez Coleman, did he have a catch called back? Anyway, he looked really fast to me.
Yeah.
But he's the only one who looked fast.
Yeah.
I mean, against these slower defensive backs, and I don't know if they're slower than everybody else, but they're definitely going to be slower than guys at Baylor and Oklahoma State. It didn't seem like we got a whole lot of separation, and that was kind of the problem with the passing game. So it's not just Jay Keeps. I mean, and I think that we'll work on some different things with that, but definitely an area of that needs to be improved if we're going to try to win another game this year.
And that was the problem last year, too. It wasn't all on Crist. Our receivers were pretty terrible. And when you can't get separation, it makes the quarterback look pretty bad. And so that's definitely an area of concern. But I think to combat that, you get guys like Pearson and Mundine, you know, underneath routes and stuff like that. Try to scheme your way into open wide receivers, you know, bubble screens and where you stack, you know, two or three wide receivers on one side to maybe set a few screens and things like that. I think this is where Pearson is going to be really heavily involved. And it will actually make me kind of sad if he's not getting 8 to 10 targets in the wide receiving game per game, because I think he, like, with six catches, that guy is going to produce crazy amounts of yards, and that's, it just seems like it would be a waste of his talent not to. And it's an easy thing. I mean, we'll throw bubble screens, we'll throw, you know, underneath routes, just little things, high percentage plays to get him involved. And that's what kind of, I feel a little more comfortable going forward in the passing game. You mentioned Rodriguez Coleman. Weiss said in the post game that he's still behind Christian Matthews on the depth chart. Matthews ran some Wildcat or Jayhawk formation, but did not have any catches. Coleman looked fast. I completely agree. And he's a guy that I'm really intrigued to see going forward. We had no downfield threat last year at all. If we can get at least the threat of a downfield guy, that will help open up everything. And so I'm really hopeful that he turns into that guy.
And definitely, I mean, if those things work out where he can get some separation and we can get him the ball, I mean, it's going to make things easier for what we do, and that's run the ball. There's going to have to be, you're going to have to play it legit. You're going to have to play that as a threat. We'll see, though. We got to show it, not just talk about it.
Yeah, that's true. I wanted to just kind of quickly talk about some play calling. As we mentioned before, 50 rushes and 20 passes. I'm not going to read too much into that. Obviously, I think I want to see a little bit more in the passing game. What about you, just kind of off the top there? What's the percentage breakdown you think that makes the most sense for this team just so far? Just,
you know. I think it's fine if we run the ball more.
Yeah.
Do what you do well. But a 50-20, you know, in 70 plays, a smart defensive coordinator knowing that is going to plan for that.
Right.
And if we don't do anything different, we're going to be, you know, disadvantaged from the get-go. Balanced offenses are always the one that do the best and are the most successful. And I'm not saying that we have to be, you know, this prolific passing team, but there has to be more of a threat, more of a and we've got to capitalize on it too.
Yeah. No, I agree. And balanced or spread offenses can be fine. I mean, if you spread it out, basically your short passes are your running plays. And in this game, you know, 50 rushes, 20 passes. I was looking back at what I wrote about the Rice game last year. We're kind of having a chuckle about it. I said, basically, it was by the numbers. And I said, 8, the number of Rice defenders in the box on nearly every second half play. And this was when, you know, we built that lead against Rice because we were running the ball and actually, you know, playing pretty well. And then when they figured out that we didn't have any wide receivers, we didn't have a passing game, they were just blitzing or stacking the box on every single play. So when you start looking at the kind of breakdown rushing passing, hopefully we have at least some semblance of a passing game to kind of open things up. What did you think of the Wildcat / Jayhawk formation stuff that we threw in there a couple times with Matthews?
It didn't really work very well. I don't know. I think there's better things we could be doing. Like, instead of that play, why don't you run a little bubble screen to Tony Pearson or something? I don't know. It seems kind of played out. We don't have much success with it. I mean, we did last year for like half a game. So maybe it was just a kind of a see if it's still there. But,
yeah,
you know, like you said, maybe it's a trying it out, see if it works, and at least the other, like Rice, now has to prepare for some sort of Wildcat formation.
Yeah, that's the only thing I think it was there for. That, I mean, if you're gonna show it, why would you show it in that game? You know what I mean? They didn't have to show that. I think it was just kind of a playing for next game type of thing. I thought it was kind of a rhythm killer personally, that, you know, they were kind of driving a little bit and then they'd split heaps out wide and give Matthews the ball, and it was just kind of, all right, well, they went, now we're 2nd and 10, and now we're 3rd and 8. And now, you know, I don't know. I just, it didn't work. And to me, it did seem like maybe a builder for next game. You want to talk about the defense?
Let's talk about the defense. I want to talk about Markell Coleman. So if you remember, folks, he was the #1 ranked JUCO prospect, according to ESPN.
Dream team.
Yeah, dream team.
Dream team.
Did not see a down, which is very surprising. A lot of JUCO players played this week, but he did not. Charlie Weiss said he knows the sky's the limit for him, and he's gonna have to work his way up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you?
It's a little scary. I mean, but you know, it's kind of like in basketball, and everything kind of comes back to basketball. Unfortunately, at KU, you look at an incoming freshman that looks so good, and then you compare him to a guy who's been in self-system for 3 years. That guy that's been in self-system for 3 years hears all this talk about this freshman coming in, he's so good, and blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, that freshman who was so good is playing behind the guy who's been there for 3 years. I think there's a little bit of that in football here, too, where you heard all these returners from last year, heard all this dream team stuff and blah, 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 and all these JUCO guys coming in to steal all their jobs. Might have made them work a little harder. And, you know, maybe you're going to have to earn it a little bit more than just coming in and talking the talk. So it's a good thing, I think, only in that there's some competition. You do hope that the talent rises to the top. I think Coleman does have probably the most talent on that position. So you hope that he kind of makes it there. But I don't think it's a bad thing at the start of the season. That's just my take.
Let's talk about one thing that I noticed that was clearly lacking, and that was, you know, containing the quarterback. Their quarterback, Vander Matten, ran all over the place against us. He had 9 rushes for 78 yards. No, that was the other one. I don't know what he actually had. He had 19 attempts for 78 yards and a touchdown. That's a 4.1 average. But a lot of that was just – and factor in, I think, sacks are taken out of that. A lot of it was scrambles. A lot of it was designed for him, and a lot of it was just him trying to make a play. It obviously seemed like he was the only offensive player on that team that was a real threat. Yeah. And you know what? Boy, was he a threat. He did a lot of work to make that defense work, and it could have been an easy game if that guy wasn't there, but that guy made the defense work a little bit. You know, they couldn't really contain him. So I guess my worries are against a better quarterback who maybe has a little bit better of an arm, can actually make some passes to wide receivers, but who's also pretty mobile and can scramble. We're going to struggle. We're going to have to fix that before we go up against guys like that.
Yeah, I agree. And this is I think this is a good test for next week too. Taylor McCargue, the Rice quarterback, had 9 rushes for 78 yards against Texas A&M. Also a pretty nice little average per carry. So this was good. I think it would kind of make us work on that this week in practice. But yeah, I agree. It was pretty rough around the edges. He just kind of took off and there was nobody there. That was concerning, but linebackers are probably going to have to pick it up a little bit. Not a great game for them. There were some sacks to start off. Heaney and Goodman got off to a great start. Then Heaney went down with some cramps, which hopefully does not happen in any other game this season, because I think he's going to be a big part of this defense. Skylar Miles did come in and do some good things for him, but I'm all in on Heaney this year. I'm hoping he ends up being basically our guy on defense. He was great last year. I want him to build on it. If he can, be that at that linebacker position, I think we're going to be in good shape. We did have 2 sacks. That's something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We only had 10 last season.
And we put some pressure on him too. I mean, we didn't make some of those tackles because he was pretty elusive.
Right, right.
But let's talk about what we really want to talk about. The play of the day.
Mm.
Play of the game that actually didn't end up counting. Is the fat guy touchdown.
Oh, I love the fat guy touchdown.
Fat guy touchdown.
Oh, I love the fat guy touchdown. We're talking about Stowers and his great
Stowers. Yeah.
His great snag. Yeah.
It's good to see things like that. It's just unfortunate it got called back and there was the whole hubbaloo about it. But that's all right. It was good to see anyway. At the end of the day, this is all entertainment.
Right.
That was pretty entertaining.
That was by far the most entertaining play of the game and not close. it felt like he was running for about 3.5 minutes by the time he caught the ball and then made it to the end zone. Man, he was great. And, he was really getting into it too. Just not even on that play, but just he was fired up the whole game. Really was kind of bringing some emotion to the game. My wife even mentioned, she's like, I kind of like that Stowers guy. He's pretty animated. And I was like, I agree. The interception was great. And by the way, the block on that, a little questionable. That maybe should have stood that play on the replay. Just throwing that out there. So the fat man deserved the touchdown is really what I'm getting.
Absolutely.
At.
He's not going to be able to do that ever again in his entire career. Not going to be even close. Just, the ref's got to recognize. Got to let him have that
let
one.
Let him have it.
Let him have that
let
one.
Let him have it. This is basically a scrimmage. Let the guy have it. Oh, well. Well, I did want to talk about the D-backs a little bit. It was kind of hard, at least for me, to get a read on how well they played. Because, as we mentioned, Vandermatten really did not throw the ball much. He was running all over the place, but he wasn't much of a threat to throw. Kind of that zone read guy who was looking to run, and obviously they ran all over the place, so it was probably a good idea. But he only averaged 3.7 yards per attempt, which is really low. So it's kind of hard to get a read on some of our defensive backfield. That will obviously change pretty quickly coming into next week and into the Big 12. So that's kind of still a question mark for me going forward. I did want to mention also Kevin Short, another JUCO All-American at cornerback, missed the game for personal reasons. The talk out there, I guess, is personal reasons is some NCAA stuff potentially. Not sure on that. That is... I don't know what it is, but hopefully he can get in there because he is another good one of those kind of highly touted dream team guys. Did you notice anything from the defensive backfield that you want to mention?
Well, I nothing specific, just that they didn't have any success throwing the ball downfield, and so yeah. I think you got to chalk that up at least to a certain extent to the skill of the D-backs, but I'm not sure we can gain or learn a whole lot about them.
Yeah, I agree
from that.
I think we'll learn pretty quick, though, coming into this next game. Special teams. We got to talk about this because probably maybe the best unit overall, or probably the best unit overall. Special teams deserve the game ball for me. We have a kicker, Wyman, 45-yard field goal, right down the middle. And maybe something that didn't get enough play was Pardula on his kickoffs. Three of his six kickoffs were touchbacks. I don't know if you remember last year, zero of all kicks.
You know, that'd be, I wonder if that's a stat that's actually held, because you know what? You may be right that we didn't have very many touchbacks, but you know, he was kicking the ball. I think he got a little rusty later, a little tired late because they weren't going as deep, but it was still going better than it was going last year.
Oh man, way better.
And as far as Matthew Wyman, you know, Rustin talked about him a little bit last week, but you know, he was a guy who showed up last year for a walk-on, try to get a walk-on spot, and they said, sorry, you're not good enough, come back in the spring. And you know, he came back in the spring, did fairly well, struggled a little bit, and then during the fall camp and during the summer, really just excelled, and then there you go, hits a 45-yard field goal, and here we are talking about the field goal kicker in a positive light, something we haven't done. And you know, not just on the podcast, but generally in years.
In a while.
So, game ball to Matthew Wyman.
I think so. I 45-yard field goals are a rare breed around Lawrence, Kansas, at least from our kickers. That was nice to see. What do you think of the punt return game? Embry looked pretty good in that position.
Connor Embry, local guy, sort of from Blue Valley West High School, did. You know, he could get a game ball, too, as far as his punt return ability. It's good to have that threat. Good to have that, you know, good field position based on some of those guys. And, you know, it's nice to think about this phase of the game kind of being taken care of now. And, you know, obviously it was against lesser competition, but I think some of that translates to anybody. You know, kicking and punt returns are kind of something. If you're good at it, you're good at it.
You know, one thing about the kicking game I wanted to mention, Johnny Beck, former KU kicker. I don't know if you remember that game. He was the co-host on the pregame show of Metro Sports. Don't see many kickers in there giving their football commentary on pregame. Just wanted to get your thoughts on Johnny Beck, kicker.
You know, I'm going to have to – I don't have Time Warner, and I'm upset about not getting all these – extra bonus Jayhawk content.
You're missing the Johnny Beck.
So if you'll DVR some of that stuff, I'd like to take a look at it and just see what's going on there at the Metro Sports. But you know, I'm all for it. Kickers know just as much about probably not. They're around. They have some insight.
Maybe he was there to give his commentary on the new kicking game, which is a big part of it. Yeah,
very important. We're talking about it. It's important.
That's right. That's right. Kickers are people too. So are punters. But anyway, let's you know, one last thing. Josh Ford had another block punt. That is his kind of his niche. He's had a couple of those in his career. That's kind of nice to see as well. Overall, special teams are great, and that's something that was really, 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 really bad last year. So if we could be like better than average at special teams and a better quarterback with the same running game, they're going to win more than one game this year. That is my prediction at this point. Are you in on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because the small things seem to be taken care of, or at least to a certain extent, a lot of the small things are looking a lot better. And I think last year, if we did some of the small things right, like kicking, some turnover stuff, some defensive stuff, if some of those things go just a little bit differently, we win a couple games.
Yeah.
And so if those things are straightened out this year, we're going to have a better shot.
Yeah, I agree. Let's look forward to Rice a little bit as we close out the podcast here. They return 18 starters this year, the most in all of football. I don't know if it's all of football, but it's definitely the most that anybody that I know is returning. I don't know if this is a true stat or not, but it seems like a lot. 18 of 22 starters return.
I think Texas returns 18 or 19, but it doesn't matter. That's still impressive either way.
Yeah.
And Texas, it obviously doesn't show you that equates to wins, but we know that Rice is good. I think a lot of people in this area watched that Texas A&M game in the opening weekend and started to get a little nervous.
A little nervous.
What do you think, Kevin?
You know, other than the A&M game, they won their past six games before that, dating back to the last year, and they averaged 38 points per game in those games. And that's including the 38 points per game is actually including the A&M game. So in their last six games, they're averaging 38 points. That's a little scary to me. If we can't score in the 30s in this game, I'm not sure we have a shot. And that, I'm just going to throw that out there right now. If we don't score 30 or more points, it's going to be very difficult to win this game. Would you agree with that at least?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because they're going to score points. I mean, they have a good offense. They put up points against A&M, who's a pretty good team. It's a little bit scary. And of course, we haven't won a road game since Todd Reesing was playing playing football and baseball, whatever he was playing, for KU 2009. It's been that long since we've won an away game. So the cards are definitely stacked against us. I hear a lot of KU fans saying they're going to win this game. I think you and I sort of loosely predicted they were going to win this game.
Loosely.
I'm not feeling great about it right now.
I'm not either. So yeah. This game opened as a pick 'em.
Yeah.
And now.
And an hour later, it was a 5 points.
Right. Now I think it's up to six now. It's probably going to be different by the time you all listen to this podcast. But
that's crazy.
Yeah. And you know what? That's probably right. I think the sharp money is probably going to be on Rice, even with that spread. But yeah. You know what? Maybe we can just put it all together. You know, last year, James Sims was suspended, and we actually did fairly well in the first half. You know, we were up 24-13, and we're right. Just running the ball all the time. We went into a passing game and kind of blew it.
Yeah, I remember they were up like, 24-13, and we got the ball on our side of the field. We were going to score again. Remember, it's like we're going to run away with that game. And we had run the ball all the way from one end to the other side. We were over the 50-yard line in our territory. And all of a sudden, we're going to start throwing the ball. And, you know, Dane Chris threw a bad pass. Then he got sacked because he was throwing another one. And then he had a fumble. I don't remember. But anyway, they turned to the passing game for no reason whatsoever. I think Weiss kind of abandoned his play call. Remember, we kind of tore him up in this game, if I remember right, on the podcast last year for this very reason. So hopefully, you know, this is a little bit of a learning game for him from last year. Remember some of that stuff and puts it together. But I'm not feeling great. We ought to put a prediction out there, though. We did not actually put a score prediction out for South Dakota. So we're just going to say we predicted it very close to correct.
Yeah, we'll just go ahead and chalk that one up.
Yeah.
We got that one exactly right on.
Yeah.
You know what? For Rice, I'm going to stick with what I said before. I'm not going to back down on it.
Taking the win.
Taking the win with a last minute.
Oh, last second field goal would be nice retribution. Yeah, because that's what they did to us.
Right. So that's what I'm sticking with. I'm probably going to be wrong, but that's what I'm doing.
What's your score prediction? Let's throw that out there.
31-28.
Okay. That'd be fun. I hope you're right. I am taking a little bit more of a pessimistic view. I think it's going to be Rice 35, KU. No, you know what? I think we keep them a little lower. Rice 31, KU 31-25. Maybe cover the spread by the time it gets there.
Let's just go back real quick. The last time we won a road game, you know, because road games are important. It's important to know where we came from. This is 2009 against UTEP. At that point, we were ranked 24th in the country.
Wow, that seems like a long time ago.
You know, you see names on here like Reesing, Kerry Meyer,
Jake Sharp.
Kale Pick threw a pass, but also scored a touchdown in this game. Tobin Opurum. You know, that's when he was a running back. You remember that?
Yeah. So, Briscoe, McDougal, Kerry Meyer. Yeah, that seems like a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. But let's change this history. Let's have some more positive history. Let's get a win so we don't have to talk about this UTEP game until we win a road game.
Yeah. I agree. I hope you are right and I'm wrong. I don't want to put a bet on it because I don't want to cheer against KU. I am excited for this game. It will tell us everything we need to know about the rest of the season, unfortunately. At least in my opinion. I think it's going to really set the bar. If we go down there and we win, I'm buying in. I'm buying in because I think Rice is a good team. If we go down there and we get stomped, I don't know how many people are going to be at that next game. It's a little, you know what I mean? It's kind of a big game.
For me and you, we're probably going to talk a little more basketball on the podcast.
Yeah, so this is big. We want to see it, you know, and if they lose and they lose by a point or 2 points, I think most KU fans will give that a pass because this is a tough game. But if we go down there and just get stomped, that is going to be pretty demoralizing to the fan base, especially coming in with a little bit new tools and new players and everyone's joining the chant. Hopefully, we're still joining the chant come 2 weeks from now. So, any other thoughts about Rice or South Dakota or the Coyotes or UTEP or, you know, anybody else you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to say maybe we were a little too hard on him. It was the first game. There's a lot of first game jitters. We saw a lot of positive stuff. We saw some things we needed to work on. But overall, I had a great, great day. Good to be back in Lawrence. Good to watch a good win. You know what? I can't complain.
All right. Well, hopefully we're still talking about a win next week. We might have a podcast coming later this week. We might not. We're not sure. You never know. It's kind of hit or miss over here at the Jayhawk Talk Studios. But I do know one thing. We are excited about the Rice game. You are going to the Rice game. Is this correct?
Yes, I am going.
I guess we should have mentioned that.
I fly out Friday night, so I'll have a report from Houston.
Perfect.
As to what happened.
This is good stuff. And this is, you know, this is why people tune in for this firsthand reporting that we are able to do with our huge budget here. We're just able to send people on away game trips.
They are so interested in that boy's brisket and Parker's stuffed peppers.
Stuffed peppers.
That's where we really make our money.
Yeah, I agree. Couldn't agree more. Well, I think that's all we got for you today. Thanks again for joining us. Jayhawk Talk Podcast, episode 27, Andrew. Recapping KU South Dakota, looking forward to Rice, Rock Chalk, and hashtag join the champ.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the
fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the final four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces.
This for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks.